I'm not really sure if anyone's ever noticed how going to the doctor and being told that you could become diabetic, or going to the doctor and finding out that, maybe your blood pressure is a little high, or you could be a candidate for heart disease, doesn't spark a fire under people to change their eating habits. I would love to talk about that today. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet. I'm Violet. I'm a psychologist, and the reason I make these videos is to help people to understand how their mental health and physical health come together to create their overall sense of well-being. It's amazing to me that finding out that you're on the road to diabetes or finding out that you're on the road to heart disease is not a big enough reason for someone to change the way they're eating. And so I started to think about that. I'm like, why? Why is it that someone could hear this information and not make a change? Why is it that I could be diabetic and learn that by making some, I have to make some changes, or maybe I'm gonna lose my foot, or maybe I'm gonna lose my vision, and I still don't make those changes? Well, there's a few different reasons that I feel are affecting us. First, these medical conditions just seem too big. They seem insurmountable. You're telling me I'm gonna become diabetic? Maybe my mom was diabetic, or my dad was diabetic, or I have a history of this in my. You're telling me I'm going to have heart disease. Maybe this is a history that I have. I might already be pre-programmed to believe that there's nothing I can do about it. The change doesn't work. Because that seems to be what the world is telling us. It's rare that you meet someone who was diagnosed with diabetes and then was able to get themselves out of a diabetic situation. So we don't believe that it's something that we can change. So we don't even try to change it. So that's the first thing that I want people to think about, is that if I don't believe I can affect something, I'm not even going to try. Now we're talking about our health. Is this really where I want to be sitting when I'm talking about my health, that I'm not even going to try? Okay, I'm hoping that the information you get in this video is going to show you why this first reason is not a reason. The majority of people who are trying to change their eating habits are trying to change them because of the weight they are at rather than the potential for diabetes or heart disease. When it comes to our weight, we have been given the message that this is something we can change. And so that's why people actively try to change it. At the same time, we've also been given the message that it's extremely hard to change the weight that you're currently living at. Now, there's a few different ideas that come to me when I think about this, things that I've spoken to people in my office about, and I'm going to relay them to you in this video. So, number one, let me just get my number one. Most people are not aware that they are addicted to sugar. Number two, most people are not aware that they are eating emotionally. However, those who are aware that they're eating emotionally see it as normal. So there's the two things. It's either I'm not aware because I don't eat when I'm sad, but I will eat when I'm bored or celebrating. And they don't see that as emotional eating. And for the few people who do eat when they're sad and see that as emotional eating, they think that this is normal. Like if you break up with someone, you eat ice cream. That's what you do. Most people believe that because eating is normal, that we shouldn't have restrictions on eating. Basically, meaning that we should be able to eat what we want whenever we want with no limitations at all. Most people that I speak to believe that doctors are giving good information about how to manage weight. And therefore, if I follow that information, I should be able to manage my weight. Most people do not believe that the foods that they're buying in stores are addictive, and that the foods that they're buying in stores pushes them to overeat. Most people don't believe that. So they don't believe that packaged foods are addictive and cause us to overeat. And unfortunately, the last one I feel like is really a tough one is that most people live to eat rather than eat to live. Okay, so how do we overcome this information? How do we use this information that I just said out loud? These are the thoughts that people actually have about food. And how do we use that information to have better ideas? Better ways of interacting with the food that we're eating and interacting in life in general so that our weight can be at a good place, at a healthy place. The first thing I'm going to tell you to do is put your focus on living life. So we're starting off with the last one, eat to live rather than live to eat, and what, all of what that means. If you put your focus on friends, family, activities, hobbies, work, if you put your attention on those things and engage them actively, enjoy them actively, what will happen? Rather than allow your food to be your friend or your lover or your entertainment, that you allow real people and real situations to be your friends and entertainment, what would happen? See, the thing is, food isn't your friend. Food can't replace a relationship. But when we allow ourselves to soothe ourselves with food, because I don't have a relationship, or I don't have close friends, or I don't have the job that I love, when I allow myself to let food take the place of those things, I get into a circle that's very damaging. Why? Because in this situation, I'm going to eat, I'm going to feel bad about having eaten, I'm going to gain, I'm going to feel bad about having gained, which is going to push me to eat again, because this is where I'm getting my self-soothing, this is where I'm getting my entertainment, this is where I'm solving my problems. Although the eating isn't doing any of those things, it's actually causing more issues. What's difficult is that if you do not feel good about your body, if you do not feel good about your health, if you don't feel good about the ability you have to be active, maybe you have knee issues or back issues and you're not able to do what you want to do. If you don't feel good about yourself and your ability to get out there and live, you're much more likely to avoid situations where you would get access to what you actually want in life. So if I don't go out, I don't create the story where I can meet my potential spouse. If I don't go out, I don't create the story where I can meet more friends. If I don't go out, I don't create the story where I could find different activities that I might enjoy doing. If I don't go out, I don't see new job opportunities. I actually need to live my life. I actually need to engage in order to solve some of these things that I might find very stressful or hurtful to me. It's actually really important to correct the issues that are occurring in your life. It's really obvious when people drink alcohol to self-soothe, because you can see it on them. They're drunk and often drunk, right? And so we can tell when someone is self-soothing with alcohol. It's so much harder to tell when someone is self-soothing with food, partially because we can't just look at them and see that they're overly full. The other reason that it's hard to tell when someone is self-soothing with food is because the repercussions of self-soothing with food takes longer to show itself. Whether it's going to be some kind of diabetic reaction or whether it's going to be being overweight, that takes years to create. Even though the alcoholism, like becoming an alcoholic, might take years to create as well, you would still see that the person was often drunk and often drinking, because we don't expect to see people drinking alcohol all the time. It's normal to see people eating. And so we don't automatically assume that because I see someone eating, they have an issue with food, until it starts to show. So until I'm overweight, until I'm diabetic. Now, by the time that we ourselves recognize that we have an issue with food, changing that becomes really difficult, because I'm already used to soothing myself in this way. And so the idea of not being able to do this becomes really stressful to me. Right? This is the way that I take care of me. And whether it's helping my body or not, it's still something emotionally I've become attached to. And this is part of the reason that they call it emotional eating, right? I'm emotionally attached to eating food whenever I feel bad. So I'm emotional, I eat, and then I eat because I'm upset and because I've gained weight. But it's this idea that whenever I'm not feeling well, I'm going to eat. And it's not even that, I'll eat when I'm happy too, right? I'm used to soothing myself, celebrating myself. Everything that I do emotional becomes around food. So the idea of changing that becomes really scary. I don't want to take away my only bright spot. It's really tough too, because if I think about not doing that, it's like, wow, something goes wrong, I eat. Even though that good feeling might last, you know, a short period of time, and then I have to eat again, it was still that short period of time where I wasn't thinking about that bad thing. But the problem that I like everyone to pay attention to is that it comes back. Whatever that bad thing was that you were trying to get away from, the same way with alcoholism, as soon as you're not drunk anymore, there it is. Well, when you're not eating anymore, there it is. If you're eating because you're bored, because you're lonely, because you don't have friends, when you're finished eating, you still don't have people to go do things with, and so the hurt is still going to be there, which only pushes more eating. It's super important for us to solve the actual problem, to get out there. And if you are upset because you don't have friends, you need to get out and make more friends. If you're upset because you can't stand your job, you need to try to figure out a new job. If you're upset because you want to be in a relationship, then you need to figure out how to get into a relationship. Eating is not going to solve that. And on top of things, eating will often impede the other issue that you're trying to solve, which, so the thing you're actually trying to solve in the moment, which is weight, eating to self-soothe sabotages the weight loss goal that you have for yourself. It becomes really important to recognize what we're doing and how it's affecting us. We need to solve the actual problem. So diabetes, cardiac issues, PCOS, Alzheimer's, there's underlying insulin resistance that's playing a role in how our body is reacting. And it becomes really important for us to recognize that every time we eat excess, so every time we eat carbohydrates that push us over our limit, every time we eat too much sugar, we are helping ourselves. No, we're not helping ourselves. We are creating the situation where we have too much insulin in our blood, which is unfortunately harming our health. So instant gratification, that dopamine hit that we get when we eat carbs, is creating a long-term negative of insulin resistance. If we don't understand that piece of information, we will keep allowing the instant gratification of carbohydrate intake to be more important than the insulin resistance that we're creating. Again, we don't see the insulin resistance until it's too late, until we are overweight. We don't see the insulin resistance until we are diabetic or have Alzheimer's or have some other metabolic issue that's attacking us. But we need to understand that every time we allow ourselves to eat excess carbs, we are creating this insulin resistance story. And it's debatable what is considered excess carbs. If you look at my lifestyle, I eat a ketogenic lifestyle. Excess carbs is for me anything over 20 grams in a day. However, if you're eating a low carb lifestyle, excess carbs is anything over 125. I do believe that if you are not doing a low carb lifestyle, by definition, you are eating excess carbs. This is me. I'm saying this out loud because it's what I truly believe. I do believe that there isn't a good reason for anyone to not be doing low carb because every person on the planet is a human person and carbohydrates affect all of us the same way. And the problem is, it takes years to see the effect that we are creating today. So every time I allow myself to eat more than 125 grams of carbs, I'm creating insulin resistance, which could eventually lead to diabetes or PCOS or Alzheimer's. Everybody seems to believe that there's only one road, but there's multiple. Heart disease, all of these things, inflammation, chronic inflammation, all of these things are related back to carbohydrates on one level or another. So that's my opinion. Now, I'm just making sure I say that out loud. That's my opinion. Anybody who's eating more than 125 grams of carbs per day is eating excessive carbohydrates. You don't have to agree with me on that, but consider what I'm saying right now, that we are all human and the ingestion of carbs has an effect that has been documented. We eat carbs, insulin rises to put the carbohydrates into fat storage. Part of the problem is that in order to get help, we have to say out loud that I need help, right? If I don't know how to solve my problem, I have to let someone else know that I have a problem. And we sometimes are too proud to do that. We sometimes would rather self-soothe, again, going back to the eat carbs, even though I'm in a story where I need to lose weight, but I'm eating these things that are causing me to gain weight. And then I'm too afraid, ashamed to go and tell somebody else that I don't know how to do this. It's okay to need help. It's okay to reach out and say, please help me. It's okay, because every single person on the planet has to fall down when they're learning to walk. Every single person on the planet had to make mistakes in math to be able to do their math. Everything we try to learn to do, at first we don't know how, and until we know how. If you have a weight issue and are not sure what to do, where to start, or maybe you've been doing what you were told and it's not working, reach out. Seek assistance. Rather than do the thing over and over that's causing you to keep your weight rising. Why is it that we don't solve our health issues when we learn that we're on the road to diabetes, or that we have diabetes, when we learn that we're on the road to certain difficult medical situations? A lot of the times, because we have been working on our weight for so long and not being successful, that we just decide that nothing good ever happens for us. We just decide that there's no way to do this for me. Other people seem to be able to do it sometimes, or they do it for a period of time and then they fail too. We don't recognize that it's the poor information that we're getting that's keeping us in this situation. We need a good reason to move forward and change our lives. And sometimes, if it's too big, we're not able to make it work, right? But what happens when the reason that we're doing this is general? What happens when the reason we're doing this is better health? What happens when the reason we're doing this is because I have a pain, and I know that if I can solve this pain, I'll be able to do more and live a happier life? If we don't feel overwhelmed by what we're trying to accomplish, if we actually believe that what we're trying to accomplish is reasonable, we are much more likely to try to accomplish it. And one of the things I want us to think about is that when I'm going to solve a problem for myself, it's not just solve it and still suffer. I want to solve it, and I want to be happy about how I solved it. See, the unfortunate truth is that we look at our old age as a time where we're going to be in pain and ache and suffer, because that's what we've seen. Generation after generation, we've watched our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents go through a lot of pain and suffering in their later years, not recognizing that it's not necessary to live that way. If we do the things today that are going to help us to be healthy, when we get to those later years, we're healthier. Knowing how carbohydrates affect us, knowing that they create inflammation, knowing that they create insulin resistance, knowing that they create metabolic syndromes that are unhealthy for us, taking them out of our lives, and then eating an appropriate low carb, moderate protein, moderate fat diet allows us to have less inflammation, allows us to go through the rest of our lives, so our older years, healthier. Yes, at some point, some part of our body is going to fail because we don't live forever. But between now and that point in time, do we need to be suffering throughout the way? My story is an example of that. My issues began in my 20s with my knees, my back and my shoulders when I was in my 30s. And by the time I got to my 40s and realized that my hip issue was inflammation, I don't know why I never attributed the other ones to inflammation. Probably because I was so engaged in my sports and I would fall so often that I just assumed that it was my sports that was causing the injuries. But when my hip hit me, I wasn't actually in the middle of any sport. I hadn't had any falls. And it occurred to me that this one was inflammation. Solving this, solve them all. Well, how did I solve this? I took carbohydrates out of my life. It's so important for us to recognize that when we take carbohydrates out of our lives, we can end up solving a situation that we didn't even know we needed to solve. It's so important for us to understand that carbohydrates cause so many issues for us, and that if you are really invested in living a happier, healthier life, it's important for you to recognize that there's nothing that's insurmountable. Diabetes, heart disease, whatever the doctor says to you is a possible something that you need to try to solve, they're saying try to solve because it's something that you actually can work on and try to solve. Let's not just take these illnesses and say, well, it's my destiny, when we could do things to help ourselves to feel better. The reason that we're not able to make changes when we hear about these medical issues that we have, again, goes back to emotional eating and goes back to the way that we manage a problem when it's presented to us. Being told that you're on the road to diabetes, being told that you're on the road to high blood pressure or cardiac disease, being told that you're on the road to something really horrible causes fear. It causes us to worry. It causes us to want to soothe ourselves. And how do we tend to soothe ourselves? With food. Immediate gratification of taking away this bad feeling versus the long-term work I would have to do to change the way that I'm eating to possibly head off this road that I'm on. See, unfortunately, because we're so used to immediate gratification, because we're so used to soothing ourselves with food, because we don't necessarily understand what carbohydrates are, so we don't label bread, we don't label rice, we don't label potatoes as carbohydrates, we allow ourselves to eat these things to partially feel better and partially because we don't know better, and continue to contribute to a bad situation for our health. Whether the problem you're trying to solve is medical or social or work, relationship, family, you need to solve the actual problem rather than soothe yourself with food. I really need you guys to understand that as wellness warriors, we need to solve the issue in order to be able to move forward. By focusing on better health, we end up creating better goals for ourselves. So I'm going to go through again, looking at some of the different ideas that we get when we start to focus on better health. Because when you focus on better health, you're much more likely to notice addictive behaviors. So if I find myself constantly going back to a food, I probably would notice that if I'm focusing on better health. If I'm trying to eat healthy, but I find myself drawn towards bread or drawn towards potatoes or drawn towards chips rather than eating the healthy food that I want to eat, I'm going to notice that because my goal is on being healthy. When it comes to emotional eating, I'll notice that more often because if my goal is better health, and I feel emotional, I know that food is not the answer. I need to solve this emotional thing I'm having in front of me, right? Why am I sad or angry or frustrated? And so if I'm trying to be healthier, I'll notice. When I'm trying to be healthy, I'm much more likely to choose nutrient-dense foods. And if I'm choosing nutrient-dense foods, that means that processed foods are really going to be off the table. And if I'm choosing nutrient-dense foods, I'm much more likely to know when I'm being pulled towards carbs than when I'm being pulled towards healthier things like proteins and vegetables that are low glycemic, right? I'm going to notice that when I'm focused on being healthy and my doctor is giving me information that doesn't seem to match with what I've learned or doesn't seem to match with my personal body. And again, you know, we are the expert in us. And if my body is reacting poorly to carbs, if my body is reacting poorly to the lectins in vegetables, so if I eat a certain vegetable and I feel bad, if my body is reacting poorly to iron, and this was a story that I learned way back when I was in my 20s and I was diagnosed anemic and given iron pills, and I took 3 of them, I said, "The hell with this." And I didn't eat them. You know why? Because they were not good for me, even if they would have helped somebody else. Later on in life, I realized I was right because it wasn't anemia. It was something else. I am the expert on my body, not the doctor. So in that case, the doctor was actually wrong. Understanding that it's our job to read food labels rather than just buy whatever is in the grocery store. It's my job to look at a label and understand what's in this food and decide if I'm going to eat it. It's my job. And if I'm focused on being healthy, I'm actually going to do that. And the last thing I'm going to say is that it's my job to learn to choose food based on how it's going to fuel me and build my body rather than on it being fun. And one of the things that I've recognized is that when I choose foods that fuel me and build my body well, I learn to love them. So learning to eat to live rather than living to eat. Super important if you want to be healthy going far forward into your life, because the choices you make today determine the body that you're going to live in 3, 4, 5 years from now, right? We're continually building our new body. fear is not a good enough reason for any of us to change the way that we're eating. It just isn't. We won't do it because of fear. We need positive goals. We need health goals. We need things that we're running towards rather than things we're running away from. We make change. We make better decisions when we are aiming at something positive. Make good decisions because you're focused on better goals. And that's how you're going to have a better life. That's how you're going to have a healthier life, a healthier body, a healthier you. I hope you found this video helpful. I want to thank you for watching Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet. If you haven't already, subscribe to the channel. Looking forward to new people being here every week. Talk to you next time.